Good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. What a beautiful day it is. I hope that you will be joining us today from 11 to 12:30 to celebrate our moms. We're going to be having ice cream, and we're going to be out in the parking lot. Just drive on through, and we'll be sure to get you and everybody in your car something really nice and cool because the weather's warm. And we're looking forward to seeing you. I'll be there. Our elders will be there. Pastor Gus will be there. It's going to be a great time. So come on down from 11 to 12:30. Then I want to also say this. The following Sunday, which is the 17th, we're going to do something after our morning service. Our morning service goes live at 8:30, but at 10 o'clock, we are going to have the church building down here open from 10 to 12. And that's for any of you who just want to come on down and pray. And we've got all the chairs spaced out. We'll be practicing our social distancing. But if you want to come down between 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock on the 17th of May, we're going to join together for a great time of prayer. And you'll come on down. You don't have to be here long. Just sentence prayers, whatever you want, and then you can get up and leave after that. And we're just going to be praying for our community, praying for our nation, praying for our governor, praying for health, praying for everybody's well-being during this time. And we're definitely going to be praying that people come to know Christ. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. Then one more announcement I want to give you before we begin worship. And that is on the 16th, we have a very special day. We have an elderly couple in our midst who is celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And that's Karen and Gus. I tease them a lot. I get a lot of joy out of that. But it's going to be their 50th wedding anniversary. We were planning a big shindig, but it looks like we're not going to be able to do that in these times. But if you would do something special, would you just write them a card or a note? You can bring that by the church or mail that to them and just wish them a happy 50th anniversary. It's a great milestone, and we're delighted and excited that God has put you two together and brought you to us. So happy anniversary, guys. We really are going to have a great time. All right, so church, are you ready now? We are going to begin our time of worship, so let's all stand together no matter where you are. If you're in your home or if you're even in your vehicle, pull off to the side of the road if you're listening to this, and let's worship God together.
One, two.
Church, it's now our time for giving. And for those of you who do not know how to do that just yet, you can either mail your check in, or like many people do, they just give online. If you go to fbcpaso.org and just drop down to the give box, it will give you all the directions right there. That's what my wife and I do. Very easy to do. And we would just encourage you to do that. I also want to thank you, church, so much for your faithfulness during these hard times. These have been really challenging. I know that there are people that are out of work. I know that some of you are really going through it financially. But I want to say thank you for living by faith, trusting in the Lord, and giving even in these times of uncertainty. So join with me in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we come before you this day, and we know that you are sovereign in all things. We know that what is taking place around us is not by an accident or a coincidence or a mistake, but it's by your good and loving and gracious hand bringing all things together according to your will for your purposes. And though we do not understand all those purposes yet, Father, we do understand this, that in this you will receive glory. So may you be glorified in these trying times, not only in our country, but in the world. May people look to you who have never looked to you before and find great hope and faith and trust in you. And may hundreds, thousands, Father, even millions come to know Christ at this time. Father, we do pray for our elected officials. We pray for our government that you would give them wisdom. We pray that if they don't know the Lord yet, that you would use this time to speak to them, that they might come to know you. It may be a great time of revival. And Father, we also want to pray for all those people who are on the front line who are responding to this virus, whether it's a doctor or a nurse or an ambulance driver or an emergency room worker. There are so many, Lord, that are on the front line. I thank you for their gift that they give to us. I thank you for their sense of compassion and care that they have. Bless them, Father, and keep them safe. I also want to thank you so much for the wonderful ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came here, who looked at your people, looked at the sick, looked at the suffering in the world, and the Word of God says that he was a man filled with compassion. Oh, Father, may you use this time for your glory. May people see that you have loved them from the beginning of time and that you are calling them to yourself. So bless this time that we have together, Father. I also ask a blessing on Pastor Gus as he brings us a special message from your word. Give him the words to say and the thoughts to say. Bless him this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One day when heaven's filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus
Good morning, men and women of God. This is going to be Mother's Day. This is a day to give thanks. There's no one like her. And for some of you that still have your moms here, you make sure you tell them you love them. Because I'm going to tell you, when the day they go into eternity, I promise you'll miss them. And I always tell my wife, thank you, honey. Thank you for the birth of our children. So this is going to be a holy day. I actually have all kinds of things on my mind. Because you're probably as confused as I am about what's going on, and you have fears and tensions and things. And so I wanted to give you a message. Pastor Mike asked me to do this. I was talking to him about all the things and all the staffs going, and I wanted you to know that we're created for hope in the midst of an opportunity. I wanted you to know that no matter what's going on in our world or in your individual lives, there is God who is sovereign. And although this may seem confusing, and it is, God has brought it and allowed it to come for a purpose that is holy and good. I want to read you something that's one of my wife's favorites. I remember when we were living in Kansas, it was called Shawnee Mission. And my wife and I spent 30 days with the Lord. We didn't watch TV. We didn't do any alcohol. We didn't do any drink. We just spent time 30 days with the Lord. Father, what is your will for us? And I told her, my wife, I kept saying, I need that spot on the wall. But first I need to find the wall again so I can find the spot. And so we did, and I tell you, the Lord magnificently came down, and she read the scripture which you're all familiar with. For I know the plans, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to not do you harm, plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Then you will call upon me, and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me. And here it is, you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You know, sometimes we believe all the right things, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe we go to church, we feel faithful, but then the confusion comes like we're in, or the situation, or an opportunity, I call them opportunities, and all of a sudden everything we seem to believe just vanishes. We feel the tension. We feel the worries like everybody else does. I want you to know the sovereign God who said, I have a plan for you, a hope and a future. The one that has this is still exactly the same. And right now what's being accomplished in our world right before our own eyes has been given by God Almighty. But I want you to know that hope is not just about the future, but also about the Lord's strength in the midst of every opportunity, so that the love of God stays within the human soul. There is no point. Worry never does any good. Stress never helps a thing. Being fearful has never accomplished much. The Apostle Paul referred to this type of hope when he was in a prison in a Roman jail. And I looked and I think, this is what he absolutely knew. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame. I'm never going to live a life. I'm never going to stand in front of anybody, saved or unsaved, by which I look like I'm causing myself shame because I've been known as a man of God. That's what he's telling everybody. And now, so you look at this, and then he goes, but that I will always, with boldness for Christ, as I have been in the past, I will be bold, and that my life will always, no matter what comes on, no matter where I find myself, I will always have a life that honors the Lord Jesus the Christ himself. Wow. So, I want to ask you today, how important is hope? Because if your hope is in science, if your hope is in this world, if your hope is in a government check, if your hope is that we can get back into the church and worship together corporately, you are going to be in a very lousy place. Our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Because he says hope deferred makes the heart sick. He tells that out of Proverbs 13. And then he says, but when dreams come true, we're full of life and joy. Just like love, hope is always visible. You know that I'm in a motorhome again, and I'm in an RV park. I'm talking to so many people. Everybody's coming up to me. And I realize because they see the hope and the joy in my wife and I, everybody else is a little bit uptight. And I think about this. Hope can really be seen. Peter said it this way. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. Worship him as his Lord. He's our Lord. These aren't words. We don't just believe in him. We know him. And he knows us. Because if we don't know him and he doesn't know us, we're going to have a bad day on a resurrection. And we have to know that we know him. We didn't come to believe in him. We've come to believe. Open. Faith was given so that I would want to know him. That's why faith was given. If it wasn't given to me to go to heaven, it was given to me so that I would want to know God. And now I would be a man earnestly seeking the Almighty. I am seeking his kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I am seeking his will in these things. So that's what he says. Instead, you must worship the Lord and your life. And if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. It's clear that the only reason anyone would ask us is because they can see it. If they don't see it, they're not going to ask. And our world has never seen a storm like this. The world, in 3 weeks, we're all running around with masks. It's worldwide. Everyone's scared to death. Some people won't even go outside. Oh, they believe in God, but they're not going outside. There's fear and tensions everywhere. People want to open up their jobs, and all of a sudden they're getting arrested for opening up their own business. What kind of a world is this? We've never seen this in our whole world system. So I want to give this. I want you to know today that you and I are created for hope. We were created in Christ Jesus. When we were born again, we weren't just born again so we could go to heaven. We were given a resurrection, a new life, that we might seek him with all of our heart. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our grace. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our joy. The Holy Spirit is ours, and we've not only been sealed, but we are full of him. And right now, in the midst of these opportunities, he's either leaking out of us or we're finding ourselves in a bad way. So I want to give this to you so you can examine yourself to see where you are on this day, because this is a great day for repentance. Repentance has no condemnation. It's a great day of renewal. This is a great day to be awakened and transformed in our mind, which transforms the emotions that we will have. And so I want to read you my text today. You're going to probably wonder, what am I talking about? And I hope when I get to the end, you'll think, oh, that's what he was talking about, that I have a reason for this. Now listen to this. It's out of 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Now concerning how and when all of this will happen, that's the Lord's return, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and everything is now secure, then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And there will be no escape. We need to hear these things. But you, here it is, this is our hope, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Praise God, that's the hope. I'm not going to be surprised. In fact, I'm waiting for it all the time. I don't know what's the way I'm wired. Every time I've led somebody to Christ, I'm thinking, I hope this is the one. Boom, I'm out of here. I'm ready. Lord, come now. And now I look at this world and think, oh, Father, you're setting it up for a world government. How? I've waited my whole life for this. This is awesome. Although everyone seems to be confused, which I completely understand. But listen, when the day of the Lord comes like a thief, for you are the children of light, this is our hope, and of the day. We don't belong. We don't belong to the darkness, and we surely don't belong to the night. So be on your guard. Not asleep, like others. Stay alert, and always be clear-headed. These are the words of the Almighty God. Gus, I've prepared you for hope. I've prepared you. I've given you a new mind. I've given you new emotions. You be clear-headed about what's going on here. I promise you, I am sovereign, and I am sovereign alone. I am accomplishing something in your day, and I want you to recognize it. The night is coming when people will sleep, and drunkards get drunk. But let those who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as a helmet the confidence of their salvation. That's the blessed hope. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. And then here it is. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are doing right now. Oh, men and women of God, I want to give you three quick things about hope. It's a wonderful thing to have, and yet I have to be honest with you. I'm running around. I don't know. You know, I haven't honestly been sheltering at home. I have been out all over the place, and I'm meeting people everywhere. I'm watching people everywhere I go. They want to know Jesus Christ. I've been talking to people, and I, yes, you keep your distance, and they're wearing masks and things like that. You know, you can't go hugging everybody like the old day of the right hand of fellowship, those kinds of things most of the time. But I want you to know everyone I meet wants to know Christ. They don't know they want to know Christ, but as soon as I get talking to them, they want to know Christ. And I'm telling you, if we have that hope, that's where this is. So I want to give you hope's consequences, number one. Hope's cousins. Did you know hope has cousins? It's really cool. I mean, it's a great cousin, by the way. It's a really cool cousin. You'd like this kind of a family member. And then hope's contentment. Hope's consequences. When you have this hope that is given by God, my hope is not in this world. My hope is not in this science. My hope is not in the federal government. My hope is not in a check. My hope is not in this governor. And yet I pray for his salvation. But my hope is not even in our county. My hope isn't even in the church. My hope is in Christ and Christ alone. And when that hope is there, this is what happens. The consequences is peace and joy. There are two of the most visible evidences of hope. You meet a man or a woman who lives in hope, you're going to find a man and a woman of peace and joy. It's like they're just contagious. I want you to understand, hope is like a river that keeps flowing regardless of the rocks that are in the way. Think of a river coming down. It's just a river of hope. That's why God put it inside our soul. And so every rock that all of a sudden it comes up, what's the river do? It flows over and creates a rapid. That's where we are today. Men and women of God, if we're not there, we're in a bad hole. We're in a stressful time. God never created us for that. That's part of an old world. That's the part of the world we were all naturally born in. That was the fit-throwing time. That was the worried time. That was the fearful time. That was the one where you felt like you had a hole in your chest. But hope, the beauty of it, can you imagine peace, a contentment of harmony around you? No matter, you can watch people in disarray and you're thinking, I'm just not there. I need to bless them. They need to see. I need to be around them so they can see the magnificence of the eternal life that is in us. An awareness. That compassion that Pastor Mike talked about when he was praying that Christ had, that's what they saw. They've never seen anyone like that. They never saw anyone that talked with authority. They had never seen anyone that had compassion when everyone else is in a storm. What are we going to feed them? Who's going to calm the waters? The wind's blowing out of control. Everybody's got disease. Oh, no, here comes leprosy all over the place. And what does Christ do? He reaches out and touches the leper. That leper hadn't been touched forever. He had to call out, leper, leper, so that everyone got out of the way. And what does Christ do? Listen, we have a blessed hope. The same thing. God said, the things that I do, you will do greater. I've anointed you with myself. I've put my Holy Spirit on you. This is your hope. And I tell you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, you delight in me and I'm granting you the desires of your heart. That's to the blessed hope. And these cousins are so beautiful. Romans, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is where we live. It's not something we're doing. It's where we're intended to live. The confidence is not found in ourselves. It's not found in something else. It's found in that life that is called eternal. And the only one that has eternal life is God Himself. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I promise you, I am the life. No man will come to the Father but through me. And when you've come to the Father, when you have believed in Jesus the Christ, He opened the door so you can seek the Father. You can seek to know Him. You're not. It wasn't the idea of just attending church or believing all the right doctrines and study yourself nutcase, but it was to walk into the magnificence of a new nature. And I tell you, there's filled with joy. That's you and I. We were created for it. The idea is not merely to behold God's glory, but to enter into it. When Christ, who is your life, when He appears, we're just reading about it, when He appears, He goes this, so will you. You will also appear with Him in glory. Oh, men and women of God, you are so loved. You are so precious in His sight. Oh, don't let anything of your old nature, this old fear and stress worry you. Praise Him at every moment. Whatever is lovely and good, let your mind rest in these things. Don't worry about what all these scientists and all this data is coming. It changes every day anyway. They don't know what they're talking about half the time. Every time you look it up, it's a different deal. So let them know that God has done to the whole planet. This is His planet. And He's got an eternal plan, and He loves you. Peace with God. I love this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace gives us a hope. It gives us a joy, and it's nice to be at rest. And it doesn't mean you can't get riled up. I get riled up all the time because I watch these stats and it blows my mind. I look at them and think, has everyone lost their common sense? Yeah, they have. God somehow removed it from them. So I look and I said, well, then what can you do? You pray a blessing on them. I think of our governor. I had to ask the Lord. Here's a real confession. I told the Lord this morning. I went outside early this morning. The dawn's coming up. I'm sitting outside and I'm praying. And I said, Father, you need to help me. I'm praying for this governor. Now, you need to know, Father, on a national, actual human level, I don't like that person. But he's my governor. And so would you teach me to love him? And I'm asking you love him. I'm asking that you would bless that man in every possible way with eternal life. I'm asking you would present him. Father, I want to present him. I don't even know the man. I don't think I'd go on vacation with him. But I don't think I'd want to. But I'm telling you this, Father, I know you love him. And I'm asking you to bless him with life eternal. He may not know you. He may never really heard you. He may never have experienced one drop of faith. But would you give it to him so that he might seek you and love all over his family? He's got precious children. He's got a beautiful wife. And they didn't get married because they disliked each other. Father, whatever they thought love was, they did it. But they can't understand the magnificence of love until they know you, for that's who you are. Peace with God. This is a beautiful thing. You know, why is this important? Because I believe we live in a time when peace with God is the last thing on most people's minds. And even some of you have been having a problem with it. You've not been thinking about peace with God. No. Man, you're thinking about your finances. You're thinking about Aunt Susie's health if you go to visit her. Some of you with grandpa and grandmas, you won't go see your grandchildren because, man, I mean, what if I give them a disease or what if they give me the disease? And we're not thinking about peace with God. For most, the thought of God is about something, someone to bless me, someone to give me something. We're always looking for Him to give me something. I need a blessing. The blessing is God. The blessing is knowing Him. And when He comes and you come to know Him, a peace is given to you. When you stand in His presence and His presence is in you, there is a peace that is filled with holiness and righteousness. And it's filled with joy. You can't help yourself. It's like you can't contain it. You don't even know you're doing it most of the time. It's just people think you're doing it. And you think, I guess. I don't notice I'm doing it because I'm here. The primary purpose of the gospel is not to give us a blessing, but to reconcile us to God so that we would want to know Him. And so the beautiful part, we're created for hope. Why? Because hope is in Him. So I'm asking today, Do you want to know Him? Go after Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Don't stop until you know you have met with Him. When you go to prayer, we're supposed to be men and women of prayer. Well, you can get on your knees, you can stand up, you can get on your face, but you pray until you know you are heard. Oh, Father, I want to know You, and I'm not getting up until I can hear the sound of Your voice. I want to feel Your good pleasure. I tell You, I want You and You alone. I don't want any other blessing but You. I'm going to be a man who seeks Your kingdom. I'm going to be a woman who seeks Your kingdom. I'm going to after Your will and Your will alone. You do with me as pleasing in Your sight. This is what we're created for. This is the magnificence of a brand new nature. It's wonderful. Peace with God has no meaning to the heart that senses no need. Does it matter whether we sense we have sinned or not? Of course it does, because if I don't understand the horribleness of my own sin, I would have never had peace with God. If I wasn't already wrestling with myself, I deserved damnation. I knew that. And the moment He gave me faith and grace, man, my sins were greater sins than I ever thought. I didn't realize how filthy I had been. I didn't realize the grotesqueness of my own sin. A simple little thing, looking at someone across the room and just hating them, or being angry all the time, or being with the wife that I dearly love. And this year on May 16th, it's Saturday. It's a Saturday. We were married on a Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, California time. So I told my wife, I said, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to take you out. Well, we're going to go to one of the finest restaurants because you know nothing's open. I'll go to McDonald's. Man, are we, huh? I did better than that on your 70th birthday. So I want to give this to you. Romans 3:23. How many have sinned? For all have sinned. How many fall short of the glory of God? All. Yet we were created for the glory of God. When He appears, we shall appear with Him in glory. This is our hope. Romans 7:13. Did that which is good, He meant the law, Paul was talking about the law, then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin. Many of us haven't recognized our own sin. We're still pointing at everybody else's sins. It's our own sin. That's why He told those men, take the log out of your own eye before you go after the speck. Recognize sin. What is it? And when you begin to, this sin becomes exceedingly sinful. He says, it produced death in me through that which is good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. What sin, Paul? And he said, Gus, mine. That my sins would become utterly sinful. And I would go to God, and I would seek Him only. I don't ask for a blessing except Your presence. I'm not asking You to do anything. I want to know You with all my heart while I walk on this earth, so when You appear, I'm not stunned at all. I've already been walking You for decades. I am thrilled at Your glory because I've already experienced it. I'm thrilled with Your righteousness because I've already lived it. I'm aware of Your peace because I lived right here in peace in the midst of great confusion and hard deals. Hard times came upon us, Father, and You saw it. I knew Your peace. So when You show up, I'm used to this. I am the one standing in Your glory, praising You that You arrived, and I've already known Your joy. This is the Lord. This is what we are created for. This is the beauty of holiness. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, listen to this. Wow. I may ask you a question today. So if there is no need for peace with God, can it actually be said, if I'm not thinking about my peace with God, can it actually be said that I've ever discovered how sinful I really am? No. I've been justified. The result is I have peace with God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. This is out of Romans 15:13. I love this. May the God of hope. You're created for it. I'm created for it. I'm in it. I pray you're there. He says, may He fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. And He doesn't say only if it's a good time and where your dreams are all coming true. He means when you think your hope has been deferred, your company's gone broke, the world's in total chaos, and it is. It's in chaos. But your joy is there. Why? Your joy isn't in here. Your joy is in Him. This is the beauty of this. And watch what He does. As you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope. Why am I joy? Why am I trusting in Him? So that I, Gus Best, my wife, Karen Best, we may overflow with hope. What does that look like? Well, go pour water in a bucket till it overflows. Go pour it in your glass. Pour your coffee cup tomorrow morning on the counter and let it overflow. Then you'll understand the hope that we live in. This, we can't help it. Our hope overflows. Our joy overflows. Our righteousness overflows. It was given to us. This is the new creation. So you're created for hope so that you seek Him and Him alone. You're not asking Him for something else. And what, too much of our time that. The cousins. Let me give you his cousins. Because I don't know what time I'm at. Oh, I got to watch this time. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. One of cousins, Hope's greatest cousins. I love it. Here it is. The world doesn't have it. I promise. Nobody has it. Our governor hasn't. Our government doesn't have it at all. It's called stability. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians. This is so cool. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to God, the God of our God and Father, about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and your enduring hope, that you have because of Jesus Christ. We now, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you. Now, that's another beautiful thing. He's chosen you to be His own people. Well, if you don't have a hope after that one, He chose me. Good grief, I couldn't find Him. I didn't look for Him, and He chose me. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And I'm telling you, what I'm saying is true today. And many of us are not living in that truth, that you are created for hope. You are righteous. God has already declared it. He gave you a new birth so you could seek Him, not so you would want something else. You couldn't want anything but Him. That's why He tells us to seek His kingdom and His righteousness and look for His will. So then He goes this. You were filled with full assurance that what we said was true, and you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. Here it is, in spite of severe suffering. Yola bole. Here they are. What did they get? They get the good news to them. Oh, Jesus saves. Praise God. Now you lost your business. Wow. Praise God. I mean, that's what happened to them. They got thrown in prison. And all of a sudden, how did this really happen to these Thessalonica people? Their hope was in God. Stability was upon them. They didn't go to the Bible bookstore. They didn't have a Bible to open up. They didn't have parchments. They had God. They just had Him. And that was enough. They were men and women of prayer. They didn't just say a little prayer over food, because many times they didn't have it. Many times they would thank God for the food when there was no food on the table. They would thank God for the provision that He gave to them on that day and how kind He was to them on that day. And then they would begin to praise and sing. There's many, many stories how things began to happen on that day. There is no wonder that the gospel went all around the world. There's no wonder by the time 320 came around that they would call the world Christian and the Roman emperor would do some unbelievable things and all of a sudden stop executing Christians. They saw it. They saw the stability. Dear friends, 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. Oh, dear friends, we're now the children of God. And what we are, what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we're reading it, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And how is He? He is filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is His kingdom. And when we live in this way, when He appears, we will appear. You will be in His glory. He will come down with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And it will not be a strange thing for you. We were created. Opportunities must come so that we discover who we are at this moment. And then He says, everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. How beautiful these things are for you and I. The one who has this hope in Jesus Christ has a life that reflects Christ. Oh, you are dearly loved. Men and women of God, it doesn't matter if we can gather here or not. It's a little bit different when you're not here. I'm telling you that. Preaching to a camera is a little bit odd. All right, this is just not my A area, especially at this time of day and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do? But I tell you this, Christ-likeness is the essence of love. And we see that hope is the foundation of love. If I don't have a hope, how can I love? And then the contentment. Hope reflects the assurance of salvation. Salvation is real. Gus and Karen Bess have had 50 years of marriage on May 16th. And when we met, we were two pagans in a nightclub. I walked into a nightclub that day, and I had said, just before I walked in the nightclub, I said to this God on our money, because it says in God we trust, if you're there, do something with me. I said, I'd even be willing to get married if you'd do something with me. I didn't even know what I meant, do something with me. It just felt like I had a hole in my life. And man, did he ever do something with me. He had me marry Karen. And I look back 50 years. I'm telling you, there's an eternal hope for you and I. Hope reflects the assurance of what has happened. Salvation or eternal life begins the moment a person, when we've just trusted Christ immediately. But the moment I've trusted Him, I'm now seeking Him. I'm after Him now. Before, I was just after a blessing. Well, if God was so fair, why did He kill? If God is so great, why did my best friend Larry Howard get killed in Vietnam? Why did my friend in high school, Doug Bastier, get killed? If there's a God that's so great, He's sure doing a lousy job. None of you ever said that. I did. And all of a sudden, I'm awakened by the Spirit of the Almighty. I sure didn't seek Him out. He sought me out. He sought Karen out. And all of a sudden, I realized all things. And I've been seeking Him ever since. And to watch Him. I did not know He would even prepare me for the death of our son. That was a hard place for us. It's still at moments are just unbelievably emotional. But I tell you, there is a hope that is not found in this world. It is found in the eternal God, Christ and Christ alone. May your praise and may your hope and may your joy be felt and seen in your homes. Do not be afraid. I am with you now and forever. I promise, He says, nothing will ever separate you from me again, no matter what comes your way. Listen to these things. Whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. How does it get any better? Now this is eternal life, that you may know Him, the only true God. And what does it say? Does it say that you might believe in Him? No, it says that you might know Him. What is eternal life? That you might know Him and the Father. Oh, sons of the Most High, daughters of the Most High, seek Him now, praise Him now. When you come through today on that ice cream thing, let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. I'm going to give you ice cream. Whoever I talk to, I'm giving you this ice cream so you can have enough strength to seek the Lord today. And may you enjoy it. And bless Mom. I wish I could go and bless my mom, but she's now in the presence of the Lord. How cool is that? Next time I see my mom, she's going to look just way younger. I was saying to a friend of mine the other day, his name's Harry Batram. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I hadn't seen him in 6 weeks or 7 weeks, whatever this thing's been, and I got to see him. And I said, Harry, wow. Harry, praise God you're still on the earth. And he said, you too. And I said, think of that. Think, Harry, how cool it'd be if we weren't on the earth. We'd have new bodies. And then I said, I'd be walking up to you going, Harry, is that you? And he goes, I'd be doing the same with you. Gus, is that you? Listen, men and women of God, if we die before Jesus Christ comes, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Hope in the resurrection. When we trace the doctrine of the resurrection, it becomes clear that because Christ lives, we too shall live. When He said to Martha, I am the resurrection, the way, and the life. I believe in the resurrection. No, He said, I promise you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He who believes in me will never die. Well, then if I can never die, what are most people afraid of about this virus? It's not all that expansive all over the world. I won't go into all that right now, but I'm going to tell you this. We're afraid because we think we're going to get sick and die. But believe me, He is the resurrection. And He said to Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me will never die. I tell you this, if a man dies, he still will never. He will always live in me. He will be in my presence. This has been allowed by God to come upon our earth for a godly reason. There has been confusion everywhere you go. There's nobody makes any common sense. They seem to hate each other. They talk stink all the time. Listen to these words. It's out of 1 Corinthians 15. And it's verses 16 through 20. If I ever can find it. Okay, here we go. Oh, I almost found it. Okay. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. Okay? And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. Does your faith feel useless? Huh? You're still guilty. And you have your sins. In that case, all of you who've died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, listen to that. If this hope, you're created for hope, but if it's only for this life, we are to be more pitied than the whole human race. Our hope is not just in this. So, I want you to know, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest. What do you mean a great harvest? Of the resurrection. I resurrected you spiritually so that I can give you a new body someday, Gus. Because the one you were born in is deadly in sin. You're going to have to master it on the journey you're here because I have given you me. You now have righteousness. You have peace and joy. I've given you eternal hope in me. Your sins, as filthy as they are, have been forgotten, and you just take control of that tent you live in. This is a beautiful thing for you and I. The Apostle Paul, before Felix, when he was given a justification, when the people were accusing him, he said, I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Wow. There are three things I've given you today, this morning, that have brought forth to know. I'm trying to give them to you so that you know whether or not you're walking on any hope. I want you to be able to know you've got not judgment. Not, there is no condemnation. I hope you're not receiving any condemnation because I would never do that. I have no desire to do that. I'm trying to give us a wake-up call on this day. Number one, do you have peace with God? Do you? And what I mean by that is the conflict ended. Has your guilt, your shame, your embarrassment of your past, and all the junk you did, all the sins you did, is the conflict over? If it's over, you're not fearful. If it's over, you're not stressed. If it's over, your irritability's way different. Your anger is almost vanished. So do you? Only you can answer that. Secondly, are you able to stand according to God's word? When He says, I'm with you, delight in me, seek me with all your heart, I will answer you. Seek my kingdom, I'll meet your needs. Don't worry about how I meet them. Don't think about how I'm going to meet them. Seek me. Seek my kingdom, righteous, peace, and joy. Seek my spirit, and I promise you, don't worry about it. I will meet your needs. Do we function that way? According to God's word, through life's opportunities? And believe me, this is a life opportunity. Good grief. Does our life declare His grace is and has been sufficient for me? That's what it means to have peace. There's a resting place. There's a beautiful, beautiful fragrance around us. Fear has no place in us at all. Do we have confidence? Thirdly, do we have confidence that God, that something beyond, even though life may come to an end, and by the way, it will, one day we all get to, I call it wake up dead. We leave the tent and we're awake now. Wow! We're going to be awake with no sin. It's going to be magnificent. Do we know that hope? Do we know that hope? Do we know that peace? That this life, the life we have here, is not the end of this story. Our attitude and our behavior reveal exactly where our hope is. You already know where your hope is. By what you feel. By what you've been thinking over these last weeks. By how you've been hiding or going out or whatever you're doing. Your precautions, whatever you're thinking, whatever you've believed in all the data that's been given to you, and it must have changed 100 times, but how you feel reveals to you your relationship with your God, Jesus the Christ. So I want to give this to you. It's out of Isaiah 55, 6, and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek Him. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man or woman his or her thoughts. Get rid of these bad thoughts. If they're not leading you, He tells us how to think on good and lovely things and praiseworthy. Let him turn to the Lord. Let her turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And then you go, I love this. He feels like you want to sing it, you know, enter His gates with that kind of thing, you know. But it's a scriptural thing, by the way. And it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Oh, let's do it. Give thanks and praise to our God. Take today. No matter what you were yesterday, that day's gone. You've got today. This is Mother's Day, a day of celebration, a day of hope, a day of peace, a day of joy, a day of righteousness. Let's celebrate it. Let's get loud. Let's make a good shout. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His love endures forever. That's our hope. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And we can say amen and amen. I wrote on my notes when I finished this thing this last week. I was writing this up as Pastor asked me to do something. And I thought, how about this? Just for fun today, just for fun, let's take God at His word. This will be a great day. Father, bless your sons and daughters. Overwhelm them with your presence. Let your hope be so alive, so full that their cup is overflowing right now. Let all their condemnation, all their stress and worry be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Holy Spirit, may you have free access into every part of their being. And may their homes be homes of celebration in the midst of a horrible storm. Oh, Father, may it be so. You have created us for an eternal hope. In the midst of the opportunity we find ourselves, your blessings are on your sons and daughters. And I'm asking on this day, that congregation that calls himself by First Baptist, calls himself by Paso Robles, calls himself by the Central Coast, will you fill them with the magnificence of all that you are and all that they have become, so that their hearts are after you and nothing else. May this be a great day, Father, to celebrate life. Why do we celebrate our moms? Because they brought us life into this world. Oh, may these be precious days, Father, in the love of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, let's stand and sing Hallelujah. What a good day. Amen.
Louder.
thank you so much, Gus, for the message, and thank you, worship team, for let's sing and raise a hallelujah. What a glorious day to worship him. And moms, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you in just a little bit because we're going to be handing out some ice cream. So you come on by. And, you know, Gus, when you're talking about moms, and I don't think I've ever told you this story about your mom. I was in my milk truck on Van Nuys Boulevard, and I broke down one day. And I thought, what am I going to do here, you know? My dad's on vacation. I'm all by myself in this milk truck. And I looked over there, and there was a Bank of America. And your mom worked for Bank of America. And I walked in there, and I didn't know anybody at the Bank of America other than I knew that your mom worked for. And that happened to be one of the branches that she was working at that time. And she says, Michael, what are you doing here? And I said, Mrs. Best, I said, my milk truck broke down. This is the days before cell phone. And she said, come on in and use the phone. And I called Bill Hammer, and he came and towed me. So I don't know if you know that, but your mom helped me out. So blessing on all of our moms today. You are absolutely awesome. If you still have your mother, then today, give her a call. Tell her that you love her. Be praying for her. And thank God that God has given her to you. Blessings on your day, church. God bless you. Bye-bye.